my thought was a segue into what's your secret for working with your team. I think that's a huge thing too, and being successful is
love our team.
You can have disagreements, but how do you come together?
You love your team?
Yes.
Oh, you're lucky. things just get awkward.
Welcome back to the podcast that's all about band and not about band at all. Because in this rehearsal space, everyone has a seat, whether you play an instrument or not.
I feel like I am in the presence of greatness.
Aww, aren't you sweet?
No, I mean just like I'm in my office.
You're in your own presence. There's a portrait of you on the wall.
There's a portrait of me on the wall. it's really great.
It's Wednesday. You're wearing pink.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm wearing pink. You have to do it.
Yep. Shoes pink.
And our guest has pink shoes on.
Thank goodness. I knew I'd love her. Right from the get go.
It's really
she's
great.
After my own heart.
Well, we would like to welcome into the studio Laura Dobler. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay.
Yay, you did. Good.
It's funny because I was going to ask you. It was on my notes ahead of time. I was like, make sure you're saying her last name correctly.
And I feel like I've always said it correctly, but it's just something that
in
you want to.
In the moment?
Your brain does something crazy. So.
Well, and this is like, for me, this is really cool because I know you. We're Facebook friends. We're colleagues in neighboring school districts. You presented at Midwest last year. But this is the first time I've ever actually met you face to face.
See your face in the
same
room?
This is really good. I mean, how lucky are you?
Yes.
I mean,
here we go. He's just doing this right now because this is going to be all about you and me talking.
Okay, that's
and
right.
And he's got to feel like he's got some attention.
It's true. I am going to take a little bit of a backseat because I do know that some of the topics we're going to cover today are like being a girl boss, because both of you are girl bosses.
Aww,
you're probably going to talk a little bit about your experience of presenting at the Midwest Clinic last year. And Aaron, you are presenting in the Midwest Clinic
this year.
Let's go.
The world's largest convention of band and orchestra directors. It's really, really cool. So, Laura, welcome to Band is Everything.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you. I'm going to let Aaron ask the first couple of questions, and I'm actually going to write down a few topics for the rapid-fire section. So we're going to put you in the hot seat here in a little bit, but let's find out a little bit more about you before we do that.
Okay, so like Mariska said, too, we've only met in person twice?
I think so.
Maybe.
Very minimal,
I remember seeing your session a couple years ago for MMEA, and I wanted to be at it. But I was presenting at the same time. Like, I think I had Honor Jazz for the state or something.
Yep.
And I was like, dang it, I want to meet this person and go, because that session, amazing, right? And then
I got
to see you at Midwest.
Yes.
So super exciting. So, but tell us about yourself, your experience, like how long you've been teaching, where have you been teaching? And then a little bit about the current role that you have now. So
yeah, well, this is within my first decade of teaching. It's about year 7, I think. So I went through the Roseville school system, and I have so many good things to say about Roseville and those teachers and that program. 100% how I am, the way I am, and how I teach is just from that Roseville school system.
Wow,
so I
that's
love them.
Awesome.
I went to Gustavus for my undergrad, and I had the great opportunity to study with both Doug Nimmo and James Patrick Miller, which is just the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I love them both dearly. And all the ensembles there, all the things, wind orchestra, symphony orchestra, small ensembles, lots of conducting opportunities. And again, another stepping stone into how I became the teacher and the person and the musician that I am.
And remind our listeners what instrument you are.
I play clarinet as my primary, but I actually studied euphonium with Paul Booty.
What?
While he was at Gustavus.
No
way. He was
what a connection.
Entrance to the brass world. So that's my secondary.
Okay, this is crazy, right? I swear to goodness, this is like the 14th episode where Paul Booty's name has come up on this program, but he's never been a guest.
Well, he hasn't, and we should probably have him on because he's
at this point, he's like that character in a sitcom that you never actually see that just gets like referenced.
Is it like what show is that? Home Improvement.
Wilson, the neighbor,
Wilson? Yep.
Or even better, like Bob Sacamano in Seinfeld.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Kramer always talks about his
these
friends.
These are very old shows never... for these young kids.
Okay,
that listening.
You think there's a lot of young kids listening to this show?
Well, Laura's in here right now.
Well, that's true. She is.
I do know both of those. I have those references back pocket.
Good, good.
Well, I hope that you share this on your MySpace then.
Top 10.
I don't even have MySpace. I'm older than you. Okay, so anyway, I interrupted that.
Well, that's... if we want to have small world connections, we can step into student teaching. I student taught at Rosemount High School when Kim was there.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
As assistant principal. And then also at Egan High School. So I was in the 196 system.
Mm-hmm.
My first job was in Sartell, Minnesota. Okay. I taught middle school band, general music, jazz band, and middle school marching band.
Let's go.
High school marching band. It was a great team of educators. A really, really fantastic first job. And I love those teachers dearly. Still talk to them. And then I had a pretty big life change. My now husband and I moved to Virginia, as in this state.
Yeah.
Not the city. A lot of folks are like, Minnesota?
I used to live in Austin, and I always have to clarify.
Not Texas.
Minnesota,
different.
Not Texas.
Totally
yep.
different. I went to grad school at Old Dominion University, and I got a master's of music education with a conducting concentration. So a lot of conducting focused with a thesis also, because why not?
Why not?
You know, I worked with the marching band, the basketball pep band, got to perform in some ensembles, really loved my time out there. And then when I graduated, it was 2020.
Okay.
The wonderful year that was. So I started teaching at another school in the height of the pandemic, like starting virtually, getting to know kids virtually, starting instruments virtually because they started in sixth grade and I was at a middle school there. So lots of experiences and stories to share from that. But I was at that Title I middle school for a few years. And then just recently came back here to Minnesota, and I am now at Dakota Hills Middle School in Egan, and I'm a team teacher of four. There's four of us.
Wow.
And we have 550 middle school bandies from sixth through eighth grade.
So that's four band directors in that?
Four band directors.
In one school?
Yes.
That's amazing.
We technically are 3.3.
Oh, sure.
But I like to round up and say four.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and with 550 middle schoolers in your program,
you need that
FTE.
That's still probably not enough FTE.
No, I was actually 3.3, that's really not enough.
Yeah.
We are running around.
Yep. Which most middle school programs are staffed that way.
But this is so great. This is one of the hallmarks. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about this. About, I would say, District 196 in general is just really, really great about, you know, recruiting and getting lots of kids signed up and finding an instrument for them.
Well, we've taken so many pages out of their book.
We literally are like copying. We're like, well, how would 196 do this?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it that way.
Let's just the Seriously. Normal
well,
question.
Well, that's a big conversation for us all the time. We still have those conversations of how are we reaching students? Are we really reaching everyone we can? And how are we providing resources for them? So absolutely.
Well, that's so great too, because like it's not just about the music that we're making and the level that we're playing at. It's about those connections, and that's one of the things that I've respected about you and seeing that you know, for a few years now, that you know, being in Minnesota and whatever, it's really cool to see that. So
thank you.
Kudos to you for that. So okay, so do you have good working relationships with your band colleagues?
Oh, of course.
Just like I do with Brad.
We can bleep this out if you say anything bad
they
about
would,
someone.
Oh, they would not like that. Oh, of course I do. Yeah. I work with Kyle Frost, Jeff Christensen, and Steven Seberg. They are all just wonderful human beings. And it's not to say that we are the same. We all think differently. We teach differently. We have completely different musical and educational backgrounds. One of us has a doctorate, and it's not me. So like, we're all very different. And I think that works in our favor, that we can bring a lot of different things to the table for our students. And I think the most unique part about our system that we have, it's very complicated, and without my chart, it's a little hard to explain, but we rotate through all the bands. So every band has every teacher on a cycle. So instead of it just being my sixth grade band or Kyle's sixth grade band, we're working with every single band and every single student.
Wow.
Which I think works really well, but it works because we communicate.
Sure.
And we talk about, hey, this is what happened in rehearsal today. We got through X, Y, and Z. Also, so-and-so maybe had a tough day in rehearsal. Let's check in with them next time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of communication that goes into making this ship work.
Right. That's awesome to hear that. Like, it's so hard to do when, you know, elective teachers, we're pulled in so many different directions, mm-hmm. especially, you know, the elementary level is, and then the middle school level is for sure too. I know our middle school colleagues, they're teaching so many different types of classes mm-hmm. and barely get time to sit down and say hello during the day. And we all know, those of us that have taught middle school or had those as, you know, children, like I have an eighth grader right now, it's crazy.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I taught middle school for 10 years and I loved it. The craziness of the day, the you just never knew what you were going to get.
Absolutely.
And sometimes like we have to, you know, the right personality has to be in those types of positions, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And we have shared prep time and
good.
Sometimes we get that time mm-hmm. to work. Sometimes we have that time and we need to separate because we're having too much fun.
Yeah.
We're like, we need to get anything done. Yeah, actually get some work done. And then sometimes, things come up. We mm-hmm. have to have a student do a makeup lesson. We have some instrument repairs. Things are just chaotic. And it's all variable day to day. But the fact that we can make things work regardless of schedule and time, it's a real testament to our ability to communicate as a team.
And that's so huge. I mean, just, and I suppose, you know, you still have times where, like, Mersk and I are like, I always describe us as brother and sister.
Yeah.
Because we have moments where we're just like I've left this office and I've slammed the door. Like a 13-year-old little snotty pants. And then I have to come back and be like, okay, I'm sorry, I overreacted. Let's have a conversation.
And I'd like to point out that I have never done that in return.
Okay, bud.
So obviously, I'm the older, more reasonable, mature sibling in this scenario.
Okay, yes. Right. I was just owning my own ish, but that's
fine. I appreciate
fine.
You owning up to that. It's been a long time coming, if I'm being honest. I've waited 8 years. I feel like the old woman in Titanic.
It's been 84 years. Fine. Anyway, okay. So you have good conversations, you have good communication, you know, things sometimes probably don't always, you can't always see eye to eye on everything. That's not growth, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just like teaching middle schoolers.
Right.
Okay. So tell me about how, like, you all, like, you were talking about how you try to see every single kid and get to know them. Mm-hmm. And how do you foster those relationships with that many kids in the program?
It is really challenging. And logical first step is making seating charts with all of our students' faces on them because we only have access to the students we teach our small group lessons to. Those are the photos that I have access to. So when I make my seating charts, it's for maybe 30 students and our band might be 70. So that's been our first week project is making a 70-person roster. So we all have that visual representation, name to face, because that's huge. There's 550 names mm-hmm. to learn, which is really tough. So that's that first step, that logistical side of just face to name. But then for me, what's actually been the most helpful is finding out the outside interests of these students, mm-hmm. because I can tell how the student performs, how they practice, how they play in my classroom. But man, isn't it great to go to a student's volleyball game mm-hmm. or to pop in if they're in chess club after school and just go see what they're up to. So having that conversation and just asking and then showing up for them is huge. They see you in the audience or they see you in the room, and that makes that relationship even more stronger than it could have been without that.
The first assignment our ninth graders have when they come to us is a video, and they have to play just a short little excerpt, like a scale. But the most important thing is they have to tell us something interesting about themselves mm-hmm. that is not related to band. And that's really fun, finding out who the dancers are and who the kids who are like really into gaming or how many siblings they have or whatever. And it's always fun to see and hear what it is that they decide to share that is important to them, that tells us a little bit about who they are as a person, besides the fact that I play the clarinet.
Or
I play
that.
I know, I see it. That's the only thing I do know about you. Now tell me
more.
Something else. Yeah.
And it shows that you value them beyond that seat in your class.
Correct.
It shows that I value what you're interested in. I value athletics. Just because I teach band doesn't mean I'm against athletics. In fact, I want you to explore every avenue that you can. Mm-hmm. I want you to try all the sports and try all the clubs. When we talk about the middle school model, that's it.
Yeah.
You're figuring out what you like and what you're good at. And so if we're pigeonholing our students into one thing, just band, just athletics, they don't have that opportunity. So showing up for our students in that capacity demonstrates that you care about them in that way and you want them to try everything.
That's huge. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate hearing that.
We'll be right back. Grand Tours is proud to sponsor Band is Everything. Grand Tours is the exclusive travel provider for the Farmington High School Bands. Hey, that's us. And they provide travel performance opportunities for over 100 high school, college, and community-based music ensembles from around the country.
The GT staff will collaborate with you to design unique travel opportunities that create memories to last a lifetime for your students. Share your travel dreams with Grand Tours by sending an email to info@grandtoursinc.com to find out how they can design custom music travel for your group.
And now, back to the show.
Tell me about your favorite part of the day that you have.
Ooh, my
favorite. Or something that's been like super awesome.
I love, we have an ensemble program that meets during what we call our flex time or our study hall time. And it's a rotating basis. We have jazz bands that meet every couple days, percussion ensemble, and then I'm responsible as the clarinet player of the team for our woodwind ensembles. So I have a 7th grade and an 8th grade woodwind ensemble that has flutes, clarinets, and oboes. Our saxophones are in our jazz band.
Okay.
But these groups are like 40 students.
Oh, fun.
Big. It's an audition-based group or a try your best and we'll see how it mm-hmm. goes type mm-hmm. group. And these students are the ones who just really love band and they really want to be there. So we're able to play some really incredible things and they just are in it. And it's so fun just to see them expanding their range and trying new things. And it's just a really fun group of kids.
And is that like 6th grade through 8th grade or is it just 8th grade or?
We do 7th and 8th grade up through the spring. Okay. And then 6th grade gets a kind of teaser taster Great. Of what these ensembles are kind of Neat. To entice them. It's like, hey, you want to continue into band, right? You can be in the jazz band next Sure. year. You can do all of these awesome things. And then we take these groups into the communities, which is the other best part about that. So like my woodwind ensembles will go to a retirement community in December and play for some folks there. And the jazz bands go to Southdale Mall and play. So it's Okay. just a really fun way to get those students out there and exposed to other individuals besides our school and our
That's awesome.
Families.
And isn't it fun and so important that we share music?
Yes, totally.
And it's I think it's also good too that people see kids are really good.
Yeah, they're good humans.
Yeah, they're really good humans.
I know
humans.
They're middle schoolers, but they're good.
Right.
They're really good.
We've got to change some of these perceptions that all these kids are naughty and bad and whatever. Like, you hear so much noise right now on social media, and to hear that, like, that's really good that y'all are doing those things and going above and beyond. That's fantastic. I'm sure that we are going to have some listeners that are like, okay, we need to connect with you and find out how you do that, like with transportation
yes.
and all of that
it's a whole
stuff.
Thing.
And how does your admin support all that? Things like that. Because it's really important to, I'm sure you know too, like building relationships with admin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's our last episode with a guest.
Yes.
Was a middle school principal. And one of the questions we asked him was, what can music teachers do to advocate for themselves and their students? So I guess a question we have today is, how is your relationship with your admin, and do you have any advice? You've worked in different settings now. Mm-hmm. What works, what doesn't, what advice do you have?
Yeah, I think we have a fairly good relationship with our administration. I think the best thing is seeing folks at our concerts, which mm-hmm. I know you talked about mm-hmm. on your last episode. That's
yeah.
huge to see that support as a teacher, but also for our students to see
yes.
like, oh, the principal, oh, the assistant principal, they're yeah. there, they're watching. So that's a really great thing. And in terms of advocating for ourselves and our programs, whenever we have a need or a request, we come in with a plan and we come in with why this is good, not for us, but for our students. Everything is about student need and what will benefit them the most. So when we're having these meetings, it's planned, and there's a purpose, and we also are willing to compromise, which I think is a really big thing. You might have something you want, but maybe it might take a little bit longer than expected, or
right.
you might have to adjust those needs. So being willing to compromise, but also being prepared.
Yeah.
And just being open. We're talking about middle schoolers being good and being humans. So are administrators.
Right.
They are human beings that are good people. So being willing to just have those conversations with them and build relationships with them, that helps.
That's awesome.
Well, I like how you said being patient, because sometimes we're like, I need this thing right now, and we can only see the here and the now.
Yes.
And I was listening to a podcast recently where they said, when you talk to a school administrator, you have to remember that school administrators oftentimes think in span of 10 years. Yes. Because they're the people who have to, for example, replace a photocopier. And a photocopier lasts 10 years. So they're thinking, well, how am I going to get to that 10 years from now? Or how am I going to space out the cost of this over the course of many years? And if we all have like a 10-year plan in the back of our head, it's going to be easier to sell something, whether it's just an idea about programming or whether it's actual equipment for your band room that's going to cost a lot of money. And I thought that was a really good way of humanizing the reason sometimes that administrators might say no, because it's not that they don't necessarily want to help. It's the fact that like they have other things they need to spend their money on, like photocopiers, and they're planning 10 years out.
Yeah.
So that was good perspective for me. So I appreciate you saying that and having that perspective as well.
And I think presence, we were talking about, you know, having principals and administrators at concerts, and even in like rehearsal settings, I have a just core memory of my first job. An assistant principal came in to do an observation. Mm-hmm. And instead of just sitting in the back with the clipboard, he went and played in the percussion section and played snare. And it was so cool for those kids.
And I had that same thing too my first few years of teaching. Both the AP and the principal would do that. They'd grab their instruments and they'd be observing me. And we'd have really great conversations afterwards, but they'd be playing with the kids. And then they'd just come in. And I was never afraid of those like formal observations because they made it be so relatable. And like they trusted me in what I was doing in the classroom. And that was really cool. They wanted to learn from me. That's the best way, right?
Like, yeah.
They just jumped in. And that was, I mean, obviously with that kind of a, you know, with our discipline, it's a little bit easier when they know how to play the instrument.
Right. And even just having the invitation, though, of saying, not just for an observation, but, hey, do you want to come down and listen to what we're doing? We're playing this song. I think you'd really like it. Having that, again, relationship, but the invitation needs to be there, too. A principal may feel like, oh, I don't need to go down there. I don't need to step on their toes. But if you welcome them into your space, maybe they'd be more willing
100%.
To pick up some sticks or some mallets even and just participate that
Absolutely.
Way.
Like our middle school colleagues, they'll have their principals like playing on a concert with them on a piece or something. I think that that's just
They don't have to have a lot of experience or be able to read music to give someone a tambourine or a cowbell. And audiences love, parents love it. Yeah. The students love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like our SRO officer is new this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in my classroom I don't know how many times.
Several times.
He stepped down today during jazz band again.
Oh, really?
Great. Oh, yeah. And then the kids, he's like, I'm looking for some AC/DC. And then our guitarist just starts cranking out. So the drums go and I'm like, this is, you just made me look really good. Thanks.
Nice.
But it's
he should
fun.
Have stopped into my jazz band rehearsal because we were playing Guns N' Roses this morning.
I told him that you were doing Welcome to the Jungle.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah. So fun. Okay. So. Big thing I want to talk about, Midwest, your projects, the new things that are coming up. Like how did your mind come to the things that you wanted to do? And you know, you're such an inspiration and is such an amazing leader in music education. And I want so many people to get to know you and share your wealth. I think too often we think that middle school teachers are one step below the high school teachers that are very much out in the community with marching band and pep bands and things like that. But first of all, let's just put this on the table. We can't do our job at the high school without middle school or elementary level.
I can't do it without elementary.
Right?
So it's all the way down.
We have to see this team that happens. When the Wind Ensemble has been accepted to MMEA this year.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. I sent a note of thanks and everything to not only my music education teachers, colleagues, I sent it to all the principals as well.
Yes.
Because they need to know that this is a team effort, whether it's they're teaching them in kindergarten all the way through what we do and beyond. It's so important. So tell me how you are inspired. What's inspiring to you? What got you to this point that you're like, I'm going to share this? And I, because you're busy.
Yeah.
You're doing the things.
And the things.
You're teaching middle school. So that's crazy in itself. So what lights your fire?
Yeah. So when I was in grad school, my degree was a conducting concentration. And I felt like that was not filling my cup enough. I love conducting, but I wanted to do something academic also, in addition to that performance side. So I went to my advisor and I said, hey, I'd love to write a thesis. And he said, are you crazy? I said, yes. he was amazing. Doug Owens is just incredible. He and I worked together, and I was just going through resources, going through research and trying to find something. And I was finding this theme, or two themes rather, that when we look at our field, the wind band profession, it is largely male dominated. Mm-hmm. And there's, of course, great gains that are being made in that capacity. But on the whole, it has been. We still is that way. Mm-hmm. And then simultaneously, there's research that's demonstrating the way mentorship occurs is when someone sees someone like them in some capacity doing the thing they want to do, that can inspire a sense of hope or promise or the fact that that could be an option for them. So if I see someone that is like me in any capacity conducting a wind band and doing a really good job at it, I might say, hey, I could probably do that. Mm-hmm. They're like me. So when we put those two themes together, we're seeing that there's a lack of representation of women in the field, and people want to see people like them doing their thing. So those kind of go hand in hand, and that's where my research went. So I dug in, was writing a literature review, doing lots of research in that capacity, and then came up with a survey that went out to women involved in the college sphere, whether they were undergrads, grad students, or professors, or folks that were in that sphere at some point, and just asking them about their experiences and about what they think about the profession, how they felt in the profession. And it was really eye-opening just to read people's experiences and see that maybe I wasn't alone, and maybe there were some things happening positively, and maybe there were some things happening negatively. And it was really impactful. And I knew that I wanted to do something with it rather than just publish it and say, I'm done, let's graduate and move on. So I started bringing it out into the circuit and going to different conferences. So I went to Virginia, Minnesota, Women Band Directors International, which is a great group, and women should be looking into that. They have a summer conference that I did virtually, thanks COVID. and then I, after presenting in Minnesota, talked to one of my mentors and said something like, I don't know what's next. And they said, Midwest. And I said, okay. And I applied that year and then got in for the last year, which was, as I said earlier, it felt like a fever dream. It came and it went, and it was just incredible, and it felt almost not real. It was a truly dream come true for me just to get to share my experiences and my research, but also the experiences of nearly 200 women and share that with the world, because it is a global conference.
Yes. It
meant a lot to me.
Awesome. Just so proud. I was there, and I was just inspired, and I know I had to get up and run into that line to hug you and introduce myself to you face to face. And it's so great to have an educator like you in Minnesota, because we're selfish like that. Keep you here.
Yeah.
Welcome home, all that stuff. So, okay. So tell me, are you getting published in a book?
Yeah. So the wonderful things that happen when you go to Midwest and when you present at Midwest, maybe you'll find this too, is people approach you with opportunities that you can continue doing the work you're doing. So I had a woman that I had never met before come up and wait in that line and approach me about a book that they were writing with another colleague. And these two women are Aaron Keaton Howard and Megan Wagner, and they are writing a book called Women in Wind Band.
Awesome.
And it's being published by GIA, which is the major publishing company for our field. Yeah. And they said, hey, we would like you to write a call to action section. So the book is, they sent over the final draft that is being published. It is incredible.
Awesome.
The list of women in this book is, I feel very imposter syndrome. They're just, it's amazing to see all these names. But there's a lot of research and some big chapters and then many shorter call to actions at the end. So my call to action is about mentorship and how we can improve mentorship for women in the wind band field, which is largely my research. So I talk about things like representation, which is a big one, who we bring into our band rooms and the music we're playing and stuff that is already in a conversation for us a lot. But other things like scholarships, who are we giving scholarships to? Who are they available to? And instrument selection, a really big one for our colleagues of the younger bands.
Mm-hmm.
I myself play clarinet. I didn't really know that I could play another instrument to be in jazz band, and I just never did. So I never played in jazz band until college, which is huge. I never marched because I didn't have a marching band in my high school and I didn't know about DCI. So there's just this trend of choosing an instrument that maybe doesn't fit into other ensembles, and you lose those opportunities, and then you are not prepared to teach those opportunities until you get that chance. So really looking in at, not necessarily saying, okay, no girls can play clarinet, right? Like, that's not it. But if a girl chooses to play clarinet, maybe she can also have an opportunity as a secondary instrument or playing clarinet in jazz band. Especially our middle school does that. We have French horns in our jazz band. Like, let whoever wants to play.
Let them play.
Get that experience. So that's that portion. And then talking about just mentorship and how we interact with each other, the way that we have relationships and how those should be healthy relationships and the way in which we teach each other.
Not jealous. Like, I've just seen so much in my career, because I'm obviously way older, but still stunningly gorgeous.
Of course.
But, like, I felt like in my career, I've watched people climb the ladder and then pull that ladder up. Instead of extending it down.
Absolutely.
I had to work hard, so you do too.
Yes.
And yes, we all have to work hard. I'm a firm believer in working hard. But we've all been in education for a long time, and we don't reinvent the wheel. How can I turn and extend my hand and help others around me?
Yes.
And again, I've had plenty of experiences, especially with women, that have kept me at arm's length until they couldn't hold me back anymore.
Totally.
And that's, I will not do that to people.
And that's really interesting you say that, because my study was based off of a study done in 2000. And that was a trend that was just across the board, that women were not willing or not interested to mentor younger other women.
Yep.
And I asked that same question in my survey, and it wasn't like 100%. Everyone is willing, but the increase was substantial of women who were saying, hey, yeah, we need to, as you said, extend the ladder down. I love that. And pull people up with us rather than separate ourselves. Yeah, that competition is huge. We need to just let go of that.
And
like,
I don't
support one another.
I've never understood that, why women get jealous of each other, and like, just let's support each other and let's celebrate, because we're all different.
Right.
And you're going to have successes and I'm going to have successes and that person's going to have successes. Well, that's just awesome.
Isn't that success for all of us?
Isn't it, though?
If we are succeeding in a field that is male dominated.
Yeah. It's not pie. You know, like, you finding success doesn't take it away from
it. 100%.
And this is an analogy I use with students a lot. It's something I heard just within the last year. It was like, you know, it's not pie. You know, someone else enjoying a piece of pie doesn't mean that you get less.
Right.
Like, I mean, well, it does with pie.
It does with pie, but that's
not the point. I know.
This isn't pie. Yeah.
That's the point, right? Like, your success... Like, yeah, it doesn't take anything away from anybody else.
And that's, it's so key. And I just, I encourage others that maybe had that insight, you know, if we've been doing this for a long time or they don't realize that they're doing it.
Yes.
And that's a big thing about that insight and having that self-reflection. I'm like, maybe I have done that in the past, but how can I change that for the future? Because there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we learn and we grow.
Mm-hmm.
We can't change what we don't acknowledge. And so I'm not saying that I've been perfect in everything either.
Right. Nobody is.
But when you recognize things, you're like, oh, I'm going to make sure that I reach out to that person and do this. And
establish a relationship, support one another.
I think one of the greatest people that is good at this is Amy Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Love her.
Right?
Oh.
I don't have any words. She's just amazing.
Well, we have a whole episode with her. This was back before you joined the podcast, but Jerry and I interviewed her. Everyone should go back and listen to that. Find that episode with Amy Powers. Episode 7, March 31st, 2020. Well, I mean, you mentioned insights. I think we could get some more insights by doing a little bit of rapid fire, don't you think?
Okay, that sounds great.
All right. We'll just go back and forth here.
Can I read the questions?
No, I'm just going to show you the question.
Oh.
And you say
surprise.
It.
We just go back and rapid forth. Fire for you, too.
Yeah, yay.
It's
rapid questioning.
And it was rapid fire for me to write these because I wrote them while you were...
it's a team experience.
We are nothing but prepared for this podcast.
All right. Here we go. First one.
Caribou or Starbucks?
I have Caribou in my hand right now. Caribou.
I agree.
Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Early riser or night owl?
Oh, absolutely night owl. Okay. These early mornings.
Beethoven or Bach?
Ooh, Bach.
blue or green music?
Quickly.
Blue? Are you talking about the blue or green music? Like the Hazo piece?
Yeah. Okay. But I was like, sort of a music inside joke.
Kind of funny, super nerdy.
I have the original artwork here in my office.
Just
which
pure
is,
panic.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Okay, last
one. You did great.
No, you have one more.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's doing great.
It's just encouragement. We're supporting each other.
You're right. Pie. It's not pie. Right. Yeah. Got it. I forgot the topic of the episode. I'm joking. Okay.
That's what it's going to be, though. It's going to be about pie, isn't it?
Pie.
It's not pie.
It's
Carry
not
on.
Pie. It's not pie with Laura Dobler.
Very, very intellectual. Okay.
Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings?
Oh, Harry Potter. 100%.
Yeah.
My husband might disagree.
Have you been
but...
to the Harry Potter experience? And,
absolutely. Yeah. Yes. It has been a while, though, so I would be interested to go back.
Great. I have not. I've never been, but I would love to. I love Harry Potter.
Podcast field trip.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Now.
Let's go right now. All right. We're going to cut the... Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the episode 58 of Band is Everything. We're off to Florida.
Bye.
No, don't stop. Don't stop your podcasting app. We're not quite done.
No, we're not.
But we are almost done.
We are almost done. I have one more question.
Oh, there's always got to be... One more question.
Of course.
It's like watching an episode of Columbo. If I'm going to make references to like old TV shows, oh, there is just one more thing.
It's like, okay.
Peter Falk, Columbo,
let's,
great
let's
show.
Talk
Love
about
that as a kid.
Quantum Leap and the new.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched the new Quantum Leap.
That's a shame.
No.
Okay. Anyway, my question is.
The old one freaked me out when I was a kid. It scared me. I was like, what if that happens to me? What if I just like wake up like suddenly like in a different.
In somebody else. And then you look in a mirror and you're like. A 10-year-old girl?
Okay.
It could still be a fear. Could still happen.
Okay,
now...
Now you want me to answer my question?
Yes.
What's on your stand?
Oh, yes. I came prepared. Okay, so I have two parts to this because the second part is really exciting. So the thing that's currently on our 8th grade stand, the piece that we're playing, or one of, is three Japanese children's songs by Yo Goto.
Oh. Mm.
Amazing.
Okay.
It's a three-movement piece. It says grade 2, but I would argue 2.5, maybe even 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of depth to it. There's
great.
Lots of lighthearted playfulness of a children's song, but also a handful of lyrical, very beautiful moments. And then just like really technical 16th work that our students are rising to the challenge, but it is fantastic. And I had never done it before. None of my colleagues have done this piece before.
Fun.
So we're kind of all experiencing this together. But I came across it from MBDA's... Young band session.
What a great session.
And I won it in the raffle.
Oh,
and I never got to do it. And so now it's like full circle years later, finally get to do this thing.
I should also mention that all of the music for that young literature session is generously donated by Schmidt Music, which
is one of our sponsors?
One of the sponsors of this podcast. But this is just another this is such a great example, though, of like Schmidt Music and their dedication to education and to teachers, because that is one of my favorite sessions every year at MMEA.
Yes.
And if you have never gone on Saturday morning, you got to check it out because they play like 30 pieces of music over the course of an hour and a half.
So many different grade levels.
Yep.
It's so excited about getting all that lit in your pocket.
Yep.
And like, I mean, I sometimes like if you and I have to like separate, you know, like when you were doing all other MMEA things and I'd go and I'd be like, this one's for Brad's band.
It's so good.
But we're nerdy about music too. So
Highlight,
super fun.
Make the notes.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely thank you for saying that. And if you wanted to pick up that piece of music, you could order it through your Schmidt Music rep.
The other exciting thing for us is we went through our curriculum review and our curriculum cycle. So we just had thankfully a lot of money to spend for our students and for their growth. So I said,
I'm going
to
edit that out because you just made
you
every other band director in the world
no longer
like, angry.
To support women.
It is once in a lifetime.
That's it. You're blacklisted. Canceled. Laura Dobler canceled.
Oh, no. I decided and the team agreed. We needed to update our library and diversify our library.
Very good.
Just a lot. We needed to do that very deeply. And so I heard you talk about Adrian Sims and Energy, and that was on our list for one of them. We're super excited about that.
Okay, this is actually going to be the third episode in a row where we mention Adrian Sims. This episode hasn't dropped yet, but the episode that we recorded that will come out right before this episode, we also talk about Adrian Sims again.
He's a gem of a human being.
Yes.
Oh my
gosh. He's a good guy. Yes.
He's just wonderful. He came to MMEA when Roseville played his new piece.
That's right.
We took a selfie with him, myself, and Matt Donnell. He's just a sweet, guy. He and very talented. Mm-hmm. So we bought like, I think, 10 or 12 of his pieces because
you can't go wrong.
They're all good.
Yeah. And the other one is Haley Woodrow.
Adrian Sims piece?
The other one that I'm really excited about is The Grid.
The Grid. That one is good. That's a good one.
We were looking at that
We actually talked about that one.
Because I want to do a grade two type piece
For
MMA. For MMA. And so we looked at that one.
And I bet if you reach out to him, he will absolutely come and help you out. Just even on a Zoom call, he's very personable, really kind guy.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, other ones, Haley Woodrow has some great works. Mm-hmm. March of the Shadows is my number one. We're going to play it in the spring.
Okay.
It's like a grade 2.5, grade 3.
Okay.
Dark march. So it has the march style.
Fun.
But it's something that students can kind of latch onto a little bit. So yeah, very excited. We're just like anxiously waiting. I feel like I'm a little kid, like looking out the window, waiting for the mail delivery to come.
Yeah.
Because we're just waiting on this music. We ordered it in the spring. So hopefully soon we can start playing these things.
Those are all super exciting, and hopefully our listeners are like, ooh, I'm going to check that out and program it.
I will happily send our spreadsheet of all the things we bought.
That's awesome.
So that's
reach out, yes.
Very good. Excellent.
Awesome. Well, what a fun time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, seriously, for this, because we've actually been talking about having you on this podcast for quite some time, and the fact that we're able to make it happen.
Yeah.
It's crazy busy. We know that. But we're appreciative of your insight, your knowledge, your care. Your communication style and everything that you're doing for music education. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, we always end every episode by saying sort of collaboratively the title of the show. So I'm going to ask you, is there a certain word between the words band, is, everything? Which of those three words is your favorite?
Band.
Okay. So you'll start. I like to say is.
Oh, okay.
And you generally like to say everything,
I do.
Right?
I like the bigger word.
Okay. So this has been another episode of
Band
is
Everything.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us today, Laura. We really appreciate it. If you enjoyed this episode, please go and leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get fine podcasts like this one. And we will see you next time.